recorded in Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Peace, grace, and mercy, they are all ours from Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. In the year 1905, there was a very passionate young librarian at the Brooklyn Public Library who worked as the superintendent of children's department. With much conviction, she came to her supervisor one day with the request that the books, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn and The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, be removed from the children's library because of the characters' coarseness, deceitfulness, and mischievous practices. Her boss, troubled by the prospect of making a move to keep these books out of the hands of children, wrote a letter alerting Samuel Clemens. Do you know who that is? The author we know as Mark Twain, that efforts were underway to ban his books from children at the Brooklyn Public Library. Clemens immediately wrote back, tongue-in-cheek, kind of. "The mind that becomes soiled," he wrote, "in youth can never again be washed clean. I know this by my own experience, and to this day I cherish an unappeased bitterness against the unfaithful guardians of my young life, who not only permitted but compelled me to read the Bible through before I was 15 years old. None can do that and ever draw a clean, sweet breath again on this side of the grave. If there is a Bible in the children's department, won't you please help that young woman remove Tom and Huck from that questionable companionship? Sincerely yours, S. L. Clemens." The books did not, in the end, be banned from the children's division of the Brooklyn Public Library, and Samuel Clemens had a point. The Bible is full of passages we probably wouldn't want to read to our children right before they go to bed at night. I think today's reading from the Gospel of Luke can probably be counted in that very category. A version of this same story that I just read is found also in Mark's Gospel. And in both of these accounts, Jesus, who is increasingly frustrated with religious leadership who couldn't or wouldn't seem to get his message of love for all people, encounters outside the temple a little group of folks discussing the building. You know what they say? that most church business happens after the business meeting in the parking lot, and that's what they were doing. So anyway, they were standing around in this little group, as it says in our story for today, pointing out some of the fancy adornments on the temple building, and they were exclaiming over the beautiful stones Herod had used to renovate the temple not long ago. And overhearing those conversations, Jesus challenged them. He said to them, "You do know, don't you, that there will come a day when this building doesn't even exist anymore?" "What are you talking about?" they said to him. "When is this all going to happen? And what are we going to do if this comes crumbling down?" And Jesus said, "But this, you guys, this is nothing. Come, I'm going to tell you about some terrible things. Wars, insurrections, nations rising against nation. Well, you heard it. It reads almost like a litany of horrible things, scary things, things you'd never want to read to your children before bedtime." Luke was writing to the first Christians, little communities that faced hardship beyond imagining. They had lost most of their material possession. They've lost all their social status in the community, and they were oppressed by a government that had begun to kill them for what they believed. And because of that, I kind of have to think that this reading isn't included to solidify Jesus' credentials as a fortune teller. This wasn't about telling what's about to happen. I think, and many biblical scholars think, that it is here because Jesus and Luke knew that the witness of people of faith could not be eliminated even by the destruction of the temple. What would, however, destroy them is fear. You see, the group Jesus ran into in the temple was concerned about preserving the stones and the beautiful adornments all around them. They were afraid of losing the physical place that represented their faith. And the fear that motivated their conversation was about all the trappings of faith. But when Jesus interrupted the group, he seemed to be saying to them, "Yeah, guys, that's all scary, but there's a whole lot more to be afraid of. You are afraid of losing all the outward trappings of your faith, but you don't even know that what is really at risk is for you to lose the substance of your faith." He said, "Look up, people. Lift up your heads and look around what's going on. There are bad things happening out there, but it doesn't have anything to do with the temple building and whether these stones are actually pretty. It has to do with the fact that the message that can heal our world is so offensive that it makes people mad. People don't like it when you tell them to love their enemies and give away their possessions and welcome strangers. And when you live that message, the world around you is going to get really, really scary really fast. Do you want to talk about fear? Sure, you're afraid of losing this temple and all the trappings of your faith, but here's what's even worse," Jesus says, "that you might lose the substance and the essence of your faith. Your real work here is to push back hard against that fear, because you can survive a lot of things. True for us too. The destruction of the temple, persecution, corrupt leaders, betrayal of friends by friends and family, wars, injustice all around. You can survive all of that, and by your endurance, you will gain your souls. But let me tell you, if you give into fear of any kind, it will destroy you." The first Christians decades after Jesus' death and resurrection, and facing oppression, persecution, and death, they needed to hear that message from Luke, that message about fear. And maybe this week, we too need to hear scripture message about that fear. Don't we wish we could have a little bit of a softer reading this week, one with the nice ending where everyone and everything is going to be okay? Don't we wish we could move this one right out of the library of the Bible? You see, friends, Jesus is not saying that everything's going to be okay in the end. He's saying that what we think will destroy us, and all of us can name any number of things, anything from low interest returns to war and to racism and global warming, all those things, although they are very troubling, will not destroy us. But what will destroy us is fear. From the time I can remember, every time something big happened in our family, my dad would go into the living room and he'd call out. He'd say, "Family meeting! Get in here for a family meeting." And whenever we got summoned to one of these family meetings, we knew that something really big had happened or was about to happen. Sometimes the news was something terrible. Someone we loved was very sick, or there had been an accident, or someone had actually died. Sometimes we were lined up until we told the truth about who had been eating the Christmas cookies before Christmas. But whatever the issue at hand was, when Dad called a family meeting, we knew that it was serious. We knew that whatever it was our parents were going to talk with us about, it would be the beginning of some sort of change. Had to be sort of a new way of being a family. And that's true for us as a faith family as well. We are called and summoned into a family meeting from time to time. And today's reading is one of those times. When the really scary stuff goes down, we can remember that the gift of being a true community is that we have an opportunity to testify to goodness and faith and justice and peace. And we can walk boldly into the future of our shared life together with open hands and open hearts and more courage than we ever suspected we might have. And we will reject fear, because it is fear more than any other troubling thing that will, if we let it, destroy us. Many wise leaders have reminded us that we really begin to live when we can finally find something to die for. Things are changing, but fear not. God is with you. May we all find faith to trust that promise this week. Amen.